Welcome to the Hunting for Purpose podcast, the official podcast home for all human design manifestors. I'm your host, Holly Marie, a 4-6 splenic manifester, a certified human design teacher, and a manifester who is following her own creative urge to facilitate a thriving global community of aligned, powerful manifestors. Wherever you are at in your manifestor journey, or even if you are here just because you love a manifestor and you want to understand them a little bit more, this podcast is the place for you. Stick around for in-depth teaching, for real-life practical tips and understandings of the manifestor journey and how to become aligned and powerful and thriving as a manifestor. You are here for global impact. You are here to change the world. The time is now. The journey is yours. This podcast is your home.
Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Hunting for Purpose podcast. My name is Taylor, and I am here to bring you another part of this series all about different aspects of my chart that have fundamentally changed the way I live and see myself and relate to others. In the last episode about a month ago, I shared about the sun and how not just the sun gate, but also the circuitry behind it and how I used it. If you haven't listened to that episode, you might appreciate listening to it. Not that these two topics, the topic that I'm going to share today really has anything to do with it, but just mainly because it may be a better episode for you to get an idea of kind of the angle that I'm coming at this with. These are not episodes where I'm aiming to teach you super in-depth astrology or human design, but what I'm hoping is that you, through my sharing of my experience as I navigate my design, you'll find your way in that, that there'll be aspects of my story or my journey that are what you needed to hear at a time that you needed to hear it. Maybe it'll spark an interest to go look at an aspect of your chart that maybe you hadn't considered before. And then if nothing else, just to know that you're not alone and that it doesn't matter how, you know, many certifications or books you've read or how many podcast episodes you've done on it or coached people around it. There's nothing, there's no substitute for your personal awareness. And so hopefully my transparency initiates you into your own exploration. But I'm really excited about today's episode. And I named it Uranian Umami, in part because, quite frankly, I think you all should know about me that one of my favorite shows on the planet is Top Chef. I think it is flipping brilliant to watch people who are so obsessed with their craft compete against people who are equally obsessed in a different way or in a different expression, but the craft fundamentally is the same. And watching them be critiqued by, you know, other chefs that ultimately on the show are their judges, but in real life, they're their colleagues. You know, two restaurants, we don't care whose restaurant it is. What we care is, do we like the thing that they produced at that moment, at that given time, you know, given the season, given our flavor, our palate? I love that. We, you know, who they are personally is far less important to us as it is to really have, you know, an experience. And I think it's fascinating to watch people who are obsessed with their craft. So if I'm ever recommending a show, it's probably because, you know, either the theme is about them being obsessed or the character is obsessed. And I think it's the most engaging form of entertainment for me personally. Anyways, so I named it Uranian Umami because umami is one of five flavor profiles. So you have salty, sweet, bitter, sour, and umami. And typically when we think of sweet, like, you know, we think of something sugary or, you know, it has a sweetness to it, like a honey or, you know, some would say that tomatoes are sweet compared to Brussels sprouts. You know, like we're looking for, it's not the thing, it's not the macronutrient or the ingredient or the element itself. It's the profile, it's the taste of it. And so there's five different ones, umami being one of them. But I think umami is the one that we use less in everyday language, right? So when you are tasting your food or cooking dinner or someone's cooked for you, you might say, oh, it's a little too salty or that's too sweet for me. But how often do you say, it just lacks umami? You know, it's not the thing that you mention, but it is the thing that makes you kind of say, did they season their food? Like, it's not even, it's not undersalted. It's just kind of, I mean, it's just a sandwich, you know? It kind of just needs a little something. And it's not a something like add a little salt or add a little sugar or maybe it needs some lemon. But umami is that kind of like intangible. It's not even intellectual. It's experiential. And I think that that is a beautiful example of what Uranus plays out in our design or in our chart, whether you're looking on the astrological side or on the human design side. But let me backtrack a little bit so you guys can see how, or you all can see how I got here. So when we first encounter human design, there typically is one instruction that everyone gets. Pretty much if you Google human design, any coach, teacher, philosopher, whatever about human design, anyone who is encouraging you to look into your human design, ironically, for as much differentiation as human design touts, there is a one instruction that fits all, and that is to follow your strategy and authority. And this too, like everything else in human design, has duality. On the good side, it forces you to interact with your whole being as separate parts. See, our authority in human design, our strategy and authority, is the mechanism, it's the functioning, it's our way of making sure that as we're being compelled through life, through our magnetic monopole, that our vehicle stays connected to our passenger. So if you think about your magnetic monopole in this visual image of a driver, you know, it's determining the destination. It's setting the speed. It's saying, oh, we're taking a left here. Oh, we're taking a right there. Our mind side would be the passenger who's being driven or chauffeured through life, looking out the window and observing the different, you know, sights and sounds and scenes that this driver, this magnetic monopole has you know, driven it past. It is kind of giving it the scenic route, driving Miss Daisy, so to speak. The vehicle is our body. It's the container. It's the mode of transportation, so to speak, that is carrying the passenger, but being fueled or driven or propelled by the magnetic monopole. So when you engage your strategy and authority, what you're essentially doing is saying, buckle up, passenger, gas up that vehicle, and let's make sure that we have everything we need to keep moving in the direction that is in alignment with where we feel compelled to go. Make sure that we have what we need. Don't leave out the wisdom of our spleen. Don't forget the insight. Don't wait the time that we need to wait so that we don't miss out on the wisdom of our emotional solar plexus. Hey, don't forget, you have a sacral center. Check in with that gut and give it a chance to really inform you of, is this for you or not? So depending on what your strategy and authority is, that dynamic will look different. But the objective of following your strategy and authority is there is a way that you're made to function. And when you honor that, what you do is you keep everything intact. Not only are we traveling at the appropriate speed in the incorrect direction, but we're also doing it safely and we're doing it wholly, securely, soundly. It reminds me of my family and I have moved from one county in the state of Georgia to another county in the state of Georgia. And the county we used to live in, you had to have an emissions test, right? And the county we live in now, you don't. And that's simply because we're more spaced out and they're less concerned about the impact of any one vehicle in our area because there's a lot more space to work with, right? But in the where we used to live, you had to have it every year with your registration. And it just reminds me that, like, when you think about a vehicle, the emissions test is essentially evaluating the functioning of the vehicle, not just does it turn on and can it go, but is it doing it efficiently? Is it producing? Is it emitting problems that the rest of us are going to have to deal with? Your strategy and authority, when you engage that, allows your magnetic monopole and your passenger to be contained within a vehicle that operates efficiently and effectively. And in order to keep that that all of those things kind of in their proper place, moving in the right direction at the right speed at the right time, you need to engage all the aspects of your design, both the conscious and the unconscious, and we do that through the strategy and authority. So with all of that said, it's great that one of the most one-size-fits-all instructions is to follow your strategy and authority, because for many of us, until we encounter human design, we have never been invited to see our body as an authority. We aren't often taught how to leverage our mind as a way to help us process what's being offered to us, not even to make the decision, but to inform how we make the decision. Most of us, as children, are taught to exercise the values that were lived into us to be the best manifestation of the legacy that has been lived into us. And so, yeah, we learn to make decisions, but oftentimes they are evaluated. The goodness or the rightness, the morality of our decisions are directly correlated to how close we are to, you know, the way that we've been raised, what we've taught was right or wrong, who we've learned to respect or admire, who we don't want to be like. And that's how we kind of gauge. And we're just kind of bumping up against through life and hoping that we get it right. But when you are invited through human design to engage your design, all of a sudden, the variable of everyone else is no longer the dictator of your lived experience. It's no longer the sole source for which you evaluate whether something is for you or not. All of a sudden, you're able to be self-contained in that experience. And that's beautiful. It's beautiful to be invited back home. It's beautiful. So I don't want to knock the strategy and authority. I think that there is a real purpose in there, and I get it, and I'm a fan. But for this, I want to say, here's the other side of that track. The other side of that track is it actually takes you out of being, right? Because if you have to stop your experience, especially early on, you know, as you become more advanced and seasoned in your experience with human design, you know, that's going to look different for everybody, and it may not disorient you in the same way it may disorient somebody else. But in the beginning, you know, if you're trying to make a decision and typically you would have just said, oh, yeah, I'll just go with that. And now all of a sudden you're trying to ride a wave that you just found out you had. It's going to look different, right? Like all of a sudden what was not intellectual has suddenly become intellectual. You're not just being anymore. Now you're processing how you're being and trying to be a certain way. And again, that process has value. And there's also a cost to that. And so after a solid 5 minutes of practicing my strategy and authority very early on in my journey, I knew it just wasn't going to be enough. And the reason why is because I needed to know more. As a line one, as a 1-3, as, you know, someone who is very self-absorbed in the way that they internalize or process information, I needed to understand more. I started wandering around the chart. Because I'm like, okay, this is great, you know, strategy and theory. I'm not knocking it, willing to try it, but I cannot do this 24/7. You need to help me understand why I should give this system the time of day. So I'm a little bit different in my approach to human design. I get why we recommend strategy and authority, but oftentimes when I introduce people to human design or in our relationship or people who are new to human design, when I'm talking to them about it, I like to give them a tour. I like to see what draws their attention. I want to give human design the chance to earn their respect, because someone who has a respect for the system will engage the experiment very different than someone who is very leery of the process. I don't invite people to give human design a blank check to their life. Why should this system dictate how you make decisions? Unless you're intrigued. Unless you're fascinated, unless your sensibilities have been engaged, give it the sniff test. And it just kind of works with a mommy because, you know, our sense of smell is so connected to our sense of taste. And quite frankly, I think it's a beautiful thing. Okay. So I, as I told you, that was kind of the long version of why I got down to Uranus very early in my journey. I just started wandering around before I even knew all about the emotional wave and all of that. And once I got a little taste of some of the planets, a little nibble of some of the variables, I started splashing around in the centers and dabbling a little bit in the gates. Once you've got the flavor, once I had the flavor, that's when I knew this was a system that I wanted to kind of engage at a deeper level. And then it became necessary. Then there was a scene or a context to actually practice my strategy and authority. And that's how I found my Uranian, your umami, is through that little journey, that little, you know, like they have a cheese flight or a wine flight or a beer flight where you kind of get a sample of everything and then you say, ooh, I'll take another one of those. That's kind of how it was for me with Uranus. Umami is a Japanese word meaning essence of deliciousness. It's a fifth flavor profile, and whatever you've eaten that you might consider crave-worthy, umami was probably present. We have ways to manufacture it, but essentially it's that savory, meaty heartiness that adds depth to cooking. And as I said earlier, it's just one of five taste profiles. Ironically, umami came to mind when I learned about Uranus. And the reason why is because as I've been kind of lately obsessed with astrology as it relates to human design as well, I think the reason why I think it came to mind specifically for Uranus is because in human design, Uranus represents our place of uniqueness. It's what sets us apart. It denotes the qualities in the gate that make us stand out. It's called the sidetrack when we're talking about how it interacts with the other planets, because it's the other side of the track. Now, this might date me, but not the other side of the track as in not self, not the other side of the track as in the side of the track you shouldn't be on, but other side of the track as in the other side of the cassette tape. The other side of your learning. So if your learning is happening on side A and then you flip the track over, the other side of the track, the duality of your learning, in that process of learning the other side of the track, you become differentiated. My dad used to say that which gains your attention and maintains your attention will change your life. Uranus is that thing that changes you. And it doesn't change you because it's trying to change you. It changes you because it captivates you. It captures you. It's that thing, right? So the gate where your Uranus is a place of that kind of gets you. It just kind of pulls you. It offers you the other side of your lesson plan, so to speak. And in that process, you are made unique. In astrology, Uranus rules the sign of Aquarius. It is where we are capable of fresh ideas, where we offer uniqueness. It is the house that shows what facet of life we are likely to express that uniqueness. So if it's in your first house has to do with yourself. And so your uniqueness is going to show up in the way that you internalize your own identity, how you show up in the world, but not because you're trying to show up unique, but because there is a unique way that you process who you are, and therefore it impacts how you show up, right? Mine happens to be in the third house. That's the place where we start to grow and explore. If you think about child development, it's the place of crawling, where we start putting things in our mouth, where we start reaching for things, where we start gaining language, where we're tactile with life. And as a result, our language is developed. It's where we begin to concretize, you know, as a baby who's immobile, you know, we have an idea of what's happening, so to speak. I don't even know if you want to call it an idea yet. We have an experience with that, which isn't us, right? We don't even know what that means. But once we can crawl, once we're mobile, all of a sudden, it's not, you know, that white thing over there, it's that white thing in my mouth. Is it safe? Is it hot? Is it salty? Is it sweet? Is it crunchy? Is it fuzzy? Is it, you know, what is it? You know, kind of a thing. And we don't necessarily even know what it is all of the time, but it's in the process of engaging it that we are able to communicate, that we develop our interpretation of our experience. So when you tell me that my Uranus is in my third house, what we're really saying is Taylor has a really, really unique way of interacting with the world as she formulates her ideas about what's going on.
She isn't going to just accept that this is the way something works because you said this is the way something works. She isn't going to, she'll take what you give her, but that doesn't mean she's accepting the purpose you assigned to it. She isn't going to just take your word for it because you saw it and your mom saw it and your dad saw it and your sister saw it. She's going to have to interact with that, and she's going to have a unique way that she externalizes or concretizes her experience with that. Okay, so that might all sound really cool and powerful, but as a manifester, I really struggled with this. Number one, we know that manifester is big energy, right? Big presence, but also it's impactful presence. People typically leave with a feeling, a very strong feeling about what we have offered. It's either magnetizing them or repelling them. They typically know what they want to do with us after they've encountered us. So imagine encountering a manifester who already, doesn't matter what they say, has big energy, but then on top of that has a very unique way of articulating what you thought you understood. It's not very fun for adults, I can assure you. I have many a story of being in fifth grade and sixth grade where I answered a question. I was asked my opinion about what I thought about some class a teacher did, and my answer was brutally honest, but it wasn't brutally honest because I lacked tact. It was brutally honest because I had considered facets that the person asking the question hadn't even considered was a part of my experience. And so as I'm articulating my opinion, it's informed by all that I took into account, not all that she or he was asking. It is not fun, I can assure you. So I endured a lot of criticism with the way that I articulated myself. And then as I began to, you know, start marketing and getting into business, it was compounded because now not only am I talking about things in a way that people aren't quite familiar with, they thought they knew what I was talking about. They thought I was talking about marketing, and yet they're having this spiritual experience. They thought I was talking about God, but now they want to write an article or they want to start something new. They're not understanding how I could be talking about food and yet having this visceral experience that is making them question the way that they've, you know, self-identified. Like, it doesn't quite all seem to go together at first place. And I could not explain to people why that was my impact on that, because quite frankly, I wasn't trying to do that to them. That was not my intention. And most of the time, I'm not aware that that's happening for you, because I'm just telling you what I see based on what I've experienced in this moment. I cannot tell you how many people have been frustrated or upset or just not happy with the way that I have shared my perspective with them. And it, again, not because they think I'm mean, not because I'm even a mean person, but because just because they asked a question doesn't mean I considered the same factors or gave weight to the same factors that they did. And sometimes that is beautifully insightful, and other times it is incredibly humbling. It's humbling that I could have considered something that you didn't, or that they didn't, so to speak. So I'm not mad that my Uranus is in the third house. I'm not upset about it, but I was actually relieved because it meant that I was not broken. I was not a manifester who just needed to use her voice. I was a manifester who had used her voice and needed to be heard. I needed to hear me in a different way, and I needed to accept that my insight is often foresight for those who listen. Can I tell you how incredibly important it is to know what role your insight plays in the ear of the listener? So for some, our insight is experienced as reflection for the other person. So when you share something that might be your opinion, it can sound critical of what they did in the past, right? For others, our insight is a gift to their present. So it makes them, it makes you sound like Captain Obvious, right? And then for others, our insight, like myself, is foresight. It makes them feel confused or disoriented or like they don't know enough. And for some people, that's really intriguing. And at other times, it's it can cause them to question their own intellect. I want to read you a little passage where this particular author, the book is called The 12 Houses. I will put the name and the author at the
in the show notes. I don't have the author's name right in front of me at the moment, but I want to read you a little excerpt about Uranus in the Third. And I want to do this because I want you to hear how this author writes about it so that you can see kind of what I'm talking about outside of my lived experience, right? So it says, those with Uranus in the Third keep looking for their own ways to understand what happens around them, rather than adhering to how they have been educated to see things. In other words, they are inventive, original, and intuitive thinkers. The Uranian mind grasps concepts whole and has revelations and sudden insights into life, people, events, and situations. Somehow, they perceive the environment from a slightly different angle to others. Very often, they exhibit a kind of detached clarity, which enables them to solve problems quickly. While others are grappling with solutions and establishing research projects to comprehend an issue more fully, Uranus appears on the scene and immediately knows the answer. It's obvious. You ought to try it this way. I cannot tell you how many times I've told people that. A more rational and logical mind will be baffled by the Uranian ability to pull answers out of thin air. Sometimes their ideas are slightly ahead of their time. Others simply will not be able to fathom them immediately. But days, months, or years later, they begin to understand what Uranus had computed instantly and naturally. It won't come as a surprise to learn that Albert Einstein was born with Uranus in the Third, ruling Aquarius on the ninth, the house associated with the laws and principles which govern existence. So I'll put the author and the book in the show notes. But reading that brought me to tears, because so often my clients have mentioned how, you know, something I said, they didn't get it at the first pass. They didn't quite put two and two together when I offered it to them. And while they're, you know, not mad about it, you know, my friends would even say this, actually, friends and clients would say, like, I just have to trust you that you know what you're talking about. And if I give it a few minutes, it'll land. Like, if I just give it some more time, it'll come together. And it's true, but keep in mind the moment between the moment I said it and the moment they get it is often not the 10 seconds I was hoping for. It's often months. It could be weeks before they can come back and say, you know what, you were right. I didn't get it then. Or, you know, this is after they've argued with me. This is after they were offended. This is after I've had to apologize saying I didn't mean it that way. Like, after all of that, you know, then it becomes, oh, actually, you were right about that. Actually, I was thinking about what you said 6 months ago, and it really landed with me now. Now, I'm jesting right now, but this, knowing this about myself, informs everything. Like, many of you know that I help people develop their offers and their intellectual property and all of the drama that comes with that internally. I help them navigate that so that they can own what they do and develop the kind of obsession that garners respect and authority. So, in that process, right, I'm often challenging some of their ideas. I'm seeing things in a different way. And it can be difficult for a client to hear me offer back to them what they told me in a way that they didn't necessarily think that they said it. And it's beautiful. It's a gift to them in our sessions, right? Because then they get to hear how someone else is internalizing what they're sharing. Doesn't mean I'm the only way that that's going to happen, but it's one way that that's going to happen. So many of us talk into the abyss, but we don't get to hear how it lands with somebody else. And that's one of the beauties of having a Uranus in the Third house, is that I am very quickly able to compute back to you what you shared with me. And then you can decide what you want to do with that. But sometimes the insight I offer takes time. It takes time for it to settle with you, for it to kind of come together with other lived experiences that make it clear for you. And that's okay. But it informed my offers because it required me to really look at, you know, are short-term containers, are one-off readings the best container for me? Maybe, maybe not. Are 3-week containers or 2-week containers, are those great spaces for me to work with clients? Or might people benefit from working with me over a year? So that not only are they able to get the insight in the moment, but they have time to process and to come back and to disagree. Because remember, it's my way of processing. It doesn't make me right. It doesn't make my opinion the authority. It's not Bible, so to speak. It's just my way of processing. It's something else to grapple with.
so that what comes out is more refined, so that that person leaves more clear about the parts of what I said that they actually disagree with. That's a gift too, to know what aspects you aren't down with, right? So knowing that about my Uranus, knowing where it shows up for me, informs my offers. And it informs the way I think about my clients' offers. You know, if your Uranus shows up in the way that, let's say it shows up in your, 11th house, which has to do with like groups and, you know, workshops and how you kind of work amongst a group of people, so to speak, that's just one expression of the 11th house, then the way you think about that might be very different than the way other people think about that. The way you might go about that might be very, very different. If it's in the 4th house, it might be very different the way you think about family and family structure. You know, in the 2nd house, the way you go about money might be extremely fascinating. So you can look up your own Uranus in the houses and see any astrological chart. Astroseek.com is the one that I like to use. It might be astroseek.org. I'll put the link in the show notes for that as well. But you can look it up and see where your Uranus falls. But also know that the gate is the expression. It's where you are likely to be sidetracked. It's not just, you know, what house is it in. You know, again, mine is in the 3rd house. So it's, my Uranus is impacting how I process my experience. But then on top of that, there's a gate at play. And so in human design's language, the other side of the lesson, the other side of the track for me that requires me to, that shapes the way I interact with my world, that informs or oversees the way that I ultimately differentiate or become or express my uniqueness for me, is in gate 58, the gate of vitality. So mine is all about figuring out what's vital, what's essential, what's crucial. If you have ever been a long-term client with me, you might have heard me say, that's really interesting. It's just not relevant, particularly when you're telling me, like if you were telling me like why you're, you know, you don't have enough experience, or, you know, you're telling me how someone else did it this way and you're not sure about this. You know, typically it's some reasoning that feels really valid to that client for why they should, you know, stay small and stay silent and just not show up in the way and the bigness and the fullness of their design. Normally my response is, that's really beautiful. It's just not vital to what we're deciding right now. It's not relevant. It's real. What you're feeling right now, what you're identifying is real. I validate that. It's just not relevant to you moving forward today. And so that is an expression. For me, figuring out what's critical can also be the place where I slow myself down. Figuring out, is that actually necessary? You know, knowing that I've covered all my bases, there's a joyousness to that, right? In my case, Uranus on the 2nd line in gate 52 is actually in detriment. On genetic matrix, it says a genius for perverse stimulation that afflicts oneself and others by promoting degeneracy and reducing joy to indulgence and decadence. The energy which fuels the drive for perverse stimulation. You know, that's kind of drastic language. Thank you, human design. But let's just say that it's almost like having this brilliance for kind of getting caught up in your own genius to the extent that it's no longer helpful. Let's just say that that's accurate. At least my interpretation of that is accurate, right? So you'll have your own interpretation of your gate, again, of the house that it's in, of even what Uranus means for you. But my point is that I wanted to share with you that that's part of my umami. That's that depth to my experience that I offer when people encounter me, when people have an experience with me, whether that's just as friends in this podcast or even as clients. Your Uranus likely captures some aspect of your life in which you do things differently. It doesn't mean you're always right. You're just different. It's just where it adds depth, meatiness, savoriness, heartiness to your experience, where you bring that heartiness to the experience of others. When you not only accept that part of you, but actually look for it, you begin to find on the other side
excuse me, when you begin to actually look for it, you being you, what you find is on the other side, that part is what makes you different. It's what makes you powerful. It's what makes you special, but not because you're trying to be, not because you're figuring out how do I put my spin on it. It just is your spin. It just is the signature of when you're being you, when you're taking all of the lessons that life offers you. That's when you find your umami. If the way I've described the experience my clients have with me sounds like something that your soul may need, maybe not your mind. Maybe your mind is like, I think I'm okay. Like, I think I've got this. But your soul, there's something on the inside of you that feels compelled. I encourage you to fill out an application. I'll put a link for it in the show notes. It's a really good time to start seeing things differently so that you get to have different options. See, one of the benefits of being somebody who considers factors that others don't is that I'm able to offer options and perspective that didn't seem available. I'm able to take out what doesn't matter and reduce it down to what is actually essential so that we can work with facets or opportunities that we didn't think were relevant before, but all of a sudden they become possible, and not only possible, but probable in terms of their ability to contribute to the life and goals that you want. So if you're somebody who is like, I know I'm being thoughtful. I know I'm doing my best. I'm doing the work. I'm talking to the therapist. I'm reading the books. I'm studying my design. And yet I'm not seeing the traction that I want. My guess is that there's a perspective. There's an angle, that a seat that you're not quite able to sit in. And that's okay. That's one of the joys of having someone like a coach or a mentor in your ear and having access to them. Someone who's willing to look at your design and be informed by how you're made, but also to hear your voice so that you can be seen and heard and validated in your experience, but also propelled into the life that you feel called to. For some, that topic or the context that we do that in is with their offers. For others, it's developing their intellectual property. For some, it's just personal growth and development. They are already doing things. They're already in college, or they're already working for promotions in their you know, corporate career or whatever. They're not necessarily coming to me for some specific result that they're not already making traction towards. They're actually inviting me into the experience so that the experience can come out differently than it has in the past. It's my birthday month, if you haven't heard. So my birthday is March 24th, and my birthday always feels big to me, but this particular birthday feels super big to me. And the working with people one-on-one specifically in this way is one of my absolute favorite things to do. It's you never have moments in your life where you're like, this is what I was made for. Like, this moment is what I have made for. I get the most amount of those moments, the most concentrated number of occurrences, so to speak, the most frequent experience of that when I am working one-on-one with somebody in their design, getting to just dive deep into the way that they're going about life and seeing life and how that's showing up and who they want to be to their family, to their, you know, friends, to their, in their careers, and even in their entrepreneurial journey. That for me is, I mean, that's umami, right? So because of that, I really wanted to incentivize those of you who know that, you know, that space is a space that you want to have with me, that you really value someone holding that space for you. I want to make that available to you. And so I'm running just a promotion over this month of 24% off what I typically charge. If you want the details about that, the easiest way to get it is to fill out the application. It details how I work with people, the price point, and, you know, just the different ways that you can satisfy that. But I just added a little birthday discount to keep it spicy, you know? If you are less interested in a personal experience, or maybe it's not the right time, or I'm not the right one, not the right voice or whatever, but you're more vested in a generous explanation of your chart, can I just suggest that you get a Manifestor Blueprint? They have been recently released within the community, and they are one of our newer offers, but they're also incredibly generous in the amount of information and detail that they offer you as a manifestor. This is not a typical human design reading where we're just rattling off human design facts that your chart pulled. This is tailored to specifically not only what is happening in your chart, but how that is influenced by being a manifestor, how that shows up as a manifestor. They are a beautiful step in your journey to understanding how your human design might explain your difference. So only you know if you need it. Only you know what, you know, what resonates to you. But I needed Uranus because I knew the kind of coach I wanted to be. I knew the kind of mentor, leader, for some, they would even say teacher that I wanted to be for me. I needed to know that people won't work with me because they understand everything that I say all the time or at first pass, but they'll choose me because they know I understand them. They trust that I see how they fit into the bigger part. They know that I get it, that I get them, that I understand what they're getting at. And being with someone who not only gets you, but also has found and holds space for you, someone who has found space for you and chooses to hold that space for you is priceless. It's unique and it's my umami. I hope that this episode inspires you to find yours.
Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us today in another episode of the Hunting for Purpose podcast. We so enjoy having you here, and whether you are listening to my insights or the wisdom of one of our other incredibly talented manifestor specialists, we really truly hope that you have taken away power, transformation, and wisdom about your own manifestor magnificence. Before you go and switch off, we would be so humbly grateful if you could take the time to either leave a podcast review right on the platform that you're listening to, or if you feel like it, please do a share across your social media. We love to hear how each of the episodes is impacting you, and we love to provide an opportunity for you to inform us via social media. So please share a story or a post about this episode and tag us at The Manifestor Community. Until next time, please, manifestors, keep hunting for purpose.